हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sundarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarna 3 The Sameness of the Universe and the Lord. Page 51. Those who are very foolish think that smoke is fire because of identifying it with the actual fire, since it arises from the fire. Sambhavat, from blazing wood, ul mukat, the fire which burns the wood and reveals it, is different from the wood which previously existed but got burnt up. Similarly, the seer endowed with unlimited knowledge and which is known as Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan is different from elements, the senses, the Antakarana, and the Jiva, since they are made of his external and marginal Shaktis. Kapila Muni spoke thus the verse. Vritti, the universe can't be perceived. He spoke the verse. So the idea that you're bringing out here is that you have to be able to see that this point of oneness and difference, you know, because you have the oneness and difference, so you have to know when you're looking at it oneness, what how it should be seen, and how when it's different, how it should be seen. Because what may happen is due to the effluence of the avidya shakti, we're going to see it backwards. That's always going to be the thing. Where we should see it as different, we see it as same. Like Lord Chaitanya was telling, I think maybe it was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was saying that you'll say that the Lord and the Jiva are one, and they're non-different. And so where we will say is no, the Lord is the Lord, and then the Jiva as their Shakti, then they are an individual separate from that. And then where we'll say they're one means the Lord and his energies are one, you'll say no, they're different because there's the Lord and then there's illusion. You understand? So where you're supposed to see one, they see difference. Where you're supposed to see difference, see one. So that's why sometimes you think, those who are very foolish think that smoke is fire because I'm identifying it with the actual fire. But in another, that's where we're showing that there's the sameness, but the Lord is different. Right? So then they'll emphasize it's the same, so it doesn't matter. You can worship anything, everything's God. No, but there's a difference. Oh, no, we don't have God is only here. No, God, everything's God. So you have to, when you're taking the personal and everything's expanding from the Lord, then you can see, therefore, then the oneness. But still, he's different from what expands from, because energy is always different from energetic. Right? Yeah.
It seems that if we are not in the parampara, the tendencies to reverse.
Yes, if you're not in the parampara, things will reverse, because you're dealing with the avidya shakti. So only Vaishnavas, you know, deal with actually the vidya shakti. Because vidya means its connection with the Lord. And avidya means it lacking its connection with the Lord. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So one has to be very, very careful in seeing these things, that one doesn't make the mistake of not understanding how and everything connects together and how they're different. So that's the Chatur Shloki then is explaining that you know Krishna is everything, then all the motives and interactions and willpower that there is to do things, that still if it's not seen in connection with Krishna, it's illusion. And then he as Bhagavan is separate from all that, so therefore he's actually the ultimate goal, not the levels of Brahman and Paramatma. Right? And then you have to be able to see the Lord, even though he is everything but different from everything, you still have to be able to see him through both.
Yes.
How you can see him directly and you can see him through the indirect, through his energies. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then it's because it's simultaneous and one indifference, you have to be able to see from both. But then, like you said, without the parampara, you can't know which one is which. It will always get it backwards because the living entity is trying to be the Lord. Right? Okay. Vritti. The universe can be perceived as real only by those whose mind is fixed in Paramatma. For others, it is perceived as illusory because their mind is fixed on material objects, which has changed as their inherent quality. Right? So because things here in the material world change, then therefore we will say, since Brahman is changeless, there can be no connection between them. Right? So only those who understand the Lord, they can understand things properly. It's working? Yeah. Anucheda 69. Those who do not respect Paramatma think the world non-different from him to be asat, unreal. Those who know Paramatma, however, accept the world as real, sat. Right? It's real. It's temporary. That's why we call it asat. So you have to know how the word asat's being used. We're saying asat means it's temporary. You know, it's just like you, let's say, you're doing some work, right? So you're outside. And then maybe you go inside where you can sit under the fan for 5 minutes before going back outside. So the point is one may, you know, one will say, oh, it's an illusion what's happening in the house. No, it's real. But at the same time, it's not real because that's not the real situation. You're going to be going back outside. Right? So the whole point is the temporariness of things. Therefore, that's why we say asat. But it actually is real. So whenever you see the Bhagavatam, then saying something's not real, they're referring to its temporary nature. But it's never meaning it doesn't exist. Is that... Sad iva manastri vrit tvai vibhat yasad a manyujat. Sad abhim rishant yesham idam atmat yatma vidha. Nahi vikritim tyajanti kanakakasya tad atmataya svakritam anu pravishtam idam atmat ya vasitam. The mind which does not have faith in you accepts the material world composed of the three gunas as an illusion. But those who know you see you as the root of everything. Just as things made of gold are not to be rejected, since their substance is actually gold, so this world is to be accepted as real, being manifested from the Lord who created it and then entered within it. The mind which is not absorbed, asat, in you, twayi, but rather absorbed in the world made of three gunas, tri vrit, just seems to exist, sat iva. If one does not accept the existence of Paramatma, though he exists in the universe which is permeated by him, the world made of mind cannot said to be to exist. This is as meaningless as a ladle trying to taste soup without a person present. The non-existent asat portion, the world is made of maya of the three gunas and mind. Right. See, now why would that, there's always been that question over the last so many years, why would they come up with this philosophy? Because it makes no sense. Then you have the aspect is that if we're not accepting the Lord, then we're going to put ourselves in connection with everything to do with Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana.
Yes, yes.
Right? We're not going to have the Lord there. We're going to put ourselves there.
Yes, yes.
Right? Therefore, variety in the spiritual world It's not about the variety itself, right? It's about the devotion in which variety is manifested, right? Does that make sense? That the gopis, every time when Krishna's dealing with them, every time they're dealing differently. So, but it's not about that. It's about that the devotion in which they're making that endeavor to behave in a different way. You know what I'm saying? Because so, how is it in the Lord's pastimes, right? You have the pastimes throughout the day. So every morning he gets up. Every morning he has his breakfast. Every morning he goes out with the cowherd boys. Then at noon he goes and sees the gopis. Then he goes back to the cowherd boys. He comes back. Then he spends time in the evening at the house. Then he goes out again with the gopis. Does that every day. Right? And so then within that, then the internal potency is making variety within each one of those. Right? But what is giving the taste? Means the variety is there, but the variety is based on bhakti. So the taste is devotion. That's what Krishna's tasting. Not the variety, because the variety is already him. So it's just different ways to do, express that bhakti. So naturally, it's the bhakti is the main thing, but at the same time is that endeavor to try to do something to please Krishna, therefore then there's the variety. You know, because then you could say, oh, the variety doesn't matter. It's all one. You know? Does that make sense? So now what happens is that when you're dealing with variety, then in the material world, now in the spiritual world, the variety is about Krishna. Right? The forms are about Krishna. The variety is about Krishna. The situations are about Krishna. And so, therefore, it gives unlimited happiness for eternally. But in the material world, we make it about ourselves. Right? So making it about ourselves, then what happens? It gets old. Because in principle, it's the same thing. Just there's the variety, fine variety within it. You know, and then sometimes you can do some major change, but within that, then if you regularly do it, that becomes the, you know what I'm saying? Let's say you're doing something, let's say you go out on vacation, but you go, you know, close by and things like that. So for variety, you go for a faraway place, but then going to the faraway becomes the standard thing.
Yes.
Even though it's a different place. And if you look at it, well, it's always on this planet. you know what I'm saying? So, and then, you know, even you take it further, okay, so then in karma we work this life, we'll go to the heavenly planets, but it's still within this universe. You know? And the blueprint of all of them is all of the basic same principles. So it's always working on the same functions. Like Krishna's pastimes, and the acharyas are explaining it. It's working in these eight different aspects of the day. They're the same. Within it there's variety, but it always has that same formula. Right? So, that same formula then doesn't get old because eternally then the bhakti is ever fresh. Like Krishna is ever fresh, bhakti is coming from Krishna, is ever fresh. But in the material world, is it ever fresh? No, at some point it gets old. So, all variety gets old. All activities get old. That endeavor to please yourself and all that, and all the things like that, that happiness you get, gets old. Right? So, now what is the alternative? There's nothing. That will make me happy. Because you're trying for something else. So therefore, then the mind, Bhaktivinoda Thakura points out, then you go automatically to the opposite. Right, you either look at the physical, or you know, the karma aspect of it, and the sense enjoyment, or you look at the mental and the speculation, the concept of liberation, and then you go to the opposite. Right? Because even you see is that the Mayavadis will talk about even knowledge is left at Brahman. Does that make sense? So they leave everything. So one can see is this is where it's coming from, because they keep themselves at the center. Therefore, then they will get the. It's about themselves, and as long as they're, they'll be, optimistic that it's all working nicely. And then when they find it's not working nicely, they get jaded, then they become pessimistic. Right? And when that becomes even more, they become extremely pessimistic. You know, so you see, as the pessimism is there on the material platform, but depending on what society they're in, then they're hoping for something will be good. You know, as we said, like the existentialist, he's there, there's no use to anything, it's all useless, so he decides to kill himself. Right, so he drives his car onto the railroad track. You hear the train coming and all that, and then he's not on the right track. The train changed, and then because it's going along, and then it changes because it's going somewhere else, and the train goes by, and then he's sitting there, and he thinks, okay, and then he drives off, and you know, to enjoy himself again. No,
yes.
You know that one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was I think it's a very famous movie. That one. French, of course. So so then that's going to be there. The jnani, he thinks it's all you, but then I'll enjoy in Brahman. And when that doesn't go, he gets frustrated with that. Then you get the pure Buddhism, where it's just there's nothingness. But they won't be happy there, so again they come back to karma. So that cycle is there. Right, so karmis are your future mayavadis, your mayavadis are your future Buddhists, and your Buddhists are your future karmis. Your gross materialists, right? It's just a matter of how many thousands of lifetimes, you know, like that. So, does that make sense now? How they come up with this bogusness? Right? Yad idam manasa vamsa chatur chakshur bhyam shravanadibhi nasvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. The material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears, and other senses is a temporary creation that is equivalent to what is made of maya when you perceive it in the waking state, and to what is made of the mind when you perceive the dream state. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.7. The knowers of Atma, however, understand this universe, ase sham, including the conditioned jiva, a manujat, as real, sat, being your form, atmataya. They see the world as your real amsha. An example is given. Those who are searching for gold do not consider whether the form is beautiful or ugly. They see it only as gold. The knowers of Paramatma are similar. Right? You might have a very nice nugget of gold, or one that's all kind of knobbly and not very pleasant. You know, got other rocks stuck in it and stuff like that. But the point is it's gold. So in the same way as those who know Paramatma, they know the world as real because it's connected with Paramatma. It's his energies that have expanded and transformed. Right? But As in the previous Anucheda, the point is there is that it's not the Lord as Bhagavan. It's a transformation of his energy. So therefore, there is a difference. So you're going to worship Bhagavan, not the material energy. But because it's not different from him, you're going to see that material energy in connection with his service. Yeah? Three reasons for accepting the world as the Lord are given through the example. One, this world, idam, is made by you through the material cause endowed with your shakti, swakritam. Two, though the effect is created later, you have entered it as antaryami without losing your nature as the cause. Three, and at pralaya it remains, avasitam, in the form of your shakti. This should be considered in the example. Right? Because the Lord's eternal, after the disillusion, the material energy remains. The manifestation is not, but the material energy remains. Right? And he enters it and still remains as the cause. It's expanded from him and he's entered it. And so as he's entered it, then you can also see it as Krishna. Right? Means you can see his energy, but the point is that energy is qualities of him. Right? So that qualities, those spread qualities, that's the Brahman aspect. Right? And so therefore, the quality in something that you appreciate, that's Krishna. And it's being controlled and acts in the way it does because it's Krishna. He enters it as Paramatma. Right? So it says, and then the material energy is endowed with his shakti, and then it is able to create. But it's his shakti that makes it work. Yeah?
Maharaj has a table, the devotee can see Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan everywhere.
Yes, yes. And so then you see is the depending on the level of the development, then he's always which one reminds him. Like you see the gopis, they see the tree is black, that reminds them of Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
So they just immediately take it directly to Bhagavan.
Yes.
Well then, you know, others will see how it's Paramatma, how he's controlling, how he's the supreme, and how he makes everything work, and it all, like the primary and secondary creation, the metaphysics and all that. You know? Like that. Or as Brahman, how he's pervading everything, and that's why everything works according to those laws and everything like that, and the shaktis and like this. Does that make sense? So you can see at these different levels. So that's going to be as you advance, then you see. But then even you advance up to the topmost platform, then we see at that platform, then according to Swabhava, there'll be a taste. There'll be an attraction. Right? So the Shanta Swabhava, then they're going to see the absolute truth as a person, but they're appreciating his absolute truthness.
Yes.
That the person is absolute, you know, does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say you have a person, you know, somebody's leading in some area, and so you appreciate how, you know, there's symptoms of wherever he is, you can see it and everything is going on and how much control, you know, how much it's just that mood is there everywhere. But they're impressed with the expanse of the potencies and how they work. How about, you know, it's the person, but they're focused on that aspect. Right? That'll be the Shanta. Then if you get up to the aspect of expect how he controls everything and everything like that, then you get that aspect of Dasya. Right, but then when you see it about, it's about the person, and he's doing all these things. Does that make sense? So one, you're just appreciating how it works. So you can see the person, you see the others, but you're just appreciating how this person is making everything function. The other one, then you'll appreciate how he's making it function, and then the third, you're just appreciating the person, and he can do all these things. Because if you appreciate the person, whether the other two are appreciated or not, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Yeah. The Shruti spoke thus the verse. Vishnu Purana 1:4, 40-41 expresses the same. Foolish people see the world, which is your form, as a material thing. They are bewildered in an ocean of illusion. O Supreme Lord, those who know you, having pure mind, see this whole world as non-different from you. Right? So they see it like that. So it's just like you see, the smoke is fire, and that's where it ends. But we see it, no. The smoke acts as that because fire, because that comes from Krishna. So Krishna is the fire, and so therefore then all these elements, breakdowns of features of fire, they're also Krishna. So, yeah.
Mind, when you say a pure mind, this means like a pure vision?
Yeah, the minds are pure, means they're not distracted by karma and jnana.
Fixed in bhakti.
Yes, because the point is unless someone is fixed in bhakti, they can't actually understand this, what we're talking about. Right? By association of devotees, they can develop that. But the point is it's only because of that association of the Vaishnavas and that it actually makes some sense. Does that make sense? You know, because you're going to have that thing, you know, that common aspect is while you're discussing things, everybody appreciates and understands. But when the class is over and you go out of the room, then you forget it all. But the point is the mind becomes purified. The desires and everything, because now you know, yes, it does make sense. I could do this in my life, but as soon as you leave, you forget, how did that work? And then you just get back into it. But you keep hearing, then you start slowly, slowly applying until at one point, then you can see it like that and perform. So that's realization. So in other words, the first time you hear it, clears the doubts, it clears the misgivings. Right? Then you're going to practice it. So then you get an understanding. But then that continued understanding, that will give you realization.
Yes,
you need many classes. That's why in Vedic, you know, tradition is 12 years.
Yes.
You know, that's why the... you hear for a while, then okay, that's what's going on. You know, so some people think, well, 12-year core, yeah, but, you know, you want a particular effect, so therefore... You know, but the point is because it's so wonderful, even any amount gives an effect. It's so perfect, right? Friti, having described that the world is simultaneously one and different from the Lord, the author next points out fallacies in the philosophy of Mayavadis and other atheistic schools. Okay, Adhikarana 4, the truth of the material creation. Adhikarana Prakashana. Having stressed that the world is a form of the Lord and is thus non-different from Him, a doubt may arise that the material creation, being temporary, can't have the Lord, who is spiritual, as the source. In order to dispel this and other such doubts, the author details the Satkaryavada and exposes the fallacies of the Vivarta and Arambhavada. The Anuchedas 70 and 71 affirm that the universe has a real existence, even though its manifestation is temporary, as opposed to the claims of the Vivartavadis and others who state the universe is unreal or illusory. The Vivartavadis claim that the universe is false or illusory, just like the shell mistaken for silver. The author counters the opponent's argument by stating that the illusory object can neither be perceived nor be used for transactions, but we experience that the object, the world, can be used and perceived with the senses. Hence, the world, though temporary, can't be stated as false or illusory. Right? You say it's as silver, but it has its functions as that. Right? You ever heard of, I don't know if they do anymore, but they used to do, is you have things that are done done with mother of pearl, you know, that's inlaid with this and that. No? Mother of pearl? No. Probably if you knew the name. Sometimes they inlay wood, even sometimes stone, with the shell, you know, the flat pieces and that, and it has that silvery look, and it gives a very nice thing, right? Yeah. I mean, in English, you call it mother of pearl, probably because the clams and that, then they are the ones that pearls come from, and so. This is it's not pearl, it's mother of pearl. No? Who knows?
English is funny language. It doesn't define the thing. You need a short word to define the object.
Yes.
If you wouldn't explain it, I wouldn't understand. But in Russian, it's just one word.
Okay. What do you call it? Okay. Okay. And in French, you have?
No.
You don't do?
Same like in English.
Okay. Yeah, so it's the same feature. That may be the English, picking that from the French. Because it's more subtle and refined. So they don't say it that way. You know, they lose it in something. You know, it's like what do you call it? Valet becomes valet. You know, in English, you know, they just kind of lose some of it. And then sometimes they're proud of it. If you say to an English person that's more, you know, proud of their culture, if you say valet, they'll go, well, it's valet. You know, because we're speaking English, so it's valet, not valet. No, but it's a French word, so we're using it. You know, so, yeah.
Yes.
No?
We can play, yes.
Yes, like that, so. Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. It's just like, what is this called? Yeah, you saw that. What do you call it? What was it? Pomme de terre?
Yes.
Of the earth, you know, or of the... What do you call it? He had a few of them.
Pomme de terre, pomme d'amour.
Yes. Isn't there a third one? I don't remember. But yeah, like that you have. The different.
Yes, like
a cherry. A cherry, yes.
Different.
And that is, which one?
Sometimes you say, sometimes. Petite pomme.
Petite pomme, okay.
The small.
The small pomme. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. The Mimamsakas, on the other hand, state that the material world is eternally based on the scriptural quotations that glorify pious activities, right? Because they're, you know, whatever it is, they don't really care if it's real or not. The point is they're going to perform the karmas based on the scriptural quotations that glorify pious activities, and by that, they're going to get the pious result. Right? And so they're going to get that experience. So whether it's real or not, they don't care. You know, it's just like you see something in real life, or let's say you go to a drama. You can say it's not real, but you don't care because it gives the experience. So the Mimamsakas, they don't really worry about these things. The author, however, asserts that these words should not be taken literally because the Vedic literatures also state that the results of material actions are temporary and are not worth pursuing. So they don't want to get too much into its illusory or temporary because they're just pursuing karma. Since the Vedas give one order, or the ultimate goal of all the Vedas, is one, the realization of the absolute truth, one should reconcile these contradictory statements by concluding that the results of pious actions, though last for many years, are not permanent. Right? Because if you do something very nice, you know, it's just like you give in charity, you know, to an ordinary person, like welfare work, regular welfare work, you'll get the same money back. The money's not lost. You know? But if you give to someone qualified, then it increases so many times, and it gives someone spirit even more. It just keeps going up. So you may get results for a long time, but still it's temporary. You know, your Indra, your 71 cycle, yuga cycles, but then there's 14 of them in one day of Brahma. Right? You know, it kind of makes it kind of, how you say? Yeah, it puts it in perspective. And not only that, what's fun is that the 14 Manus, you know, and all that, they have seven that have their name, and then the next seven, they add something to that. So it's basically the same thing again. Just the next seven. Right? Does that make sense? You know, in the name, they just add one word, and then I don't remember the word, but it just...
Okay. So it is connected to the previous one?
It's not necessarily connected, but it's the same kind of position in that. So it's going in a cycle. So that's why you say the parardha. So the first 50 years will go in a certain fashion. The second 50 years will go in that similar fashion. It's a cycle. Just like in ourselves, you have the seven chakras. Each one will be prominent for 7 years. So that's 49. So when it goes 50, it goes back to one again, and then it goes through. So it's the same thing, but at a more mature thing. So that's why that extra word. It has a slightly different flavor. So, does that make sense?
And they're all savarnas.
Savarna, yes. Savarna. So whatever was there, like chakshusha savarna, rather than chakshusha. That kind of thing. But it basically, they're all savarnas, so there's something going on in that half. That's. So we're in the second half. No. So the good thing is Krishna appeared. So I am Krishna came, so that's the special. Having established the reality of the material creation, the next few Anuchetas further affirm this point by proving that there is never a complete annihilation of the material creation. The material world does not get absolutely destroyed, but exists in a dormant state even after the pralaya, universal destruction, based on the theory of Satkaryavad, which states that the effect is dormant in the cause. Right, the cause is there, the effect is dormant there. Otherwise, how does it come out? Then, so that's why it's saying the effect means a manifestation of a particular quality of the cause. So that means the energy, the material energy, is there, it's existing. It expands from the Lord and is manifest, then it goes back to the Lord. So that's why pradhan is eternal. It's never destroyed. It's an energy of the Lord. But the manifestation of it, where you see the variety in everything, that's going to happen, you know, on occasion. The scriptural statements describing the absolute destruction of creation does not imply the falsity of material creation, but refers to the destruction of Jiva's illusion. Right? When they say the final, means of the four kinds of destruction. Then they're saying that absolute, that means he gives up the illusion that things are separate from the Lord. So that's the actual liberation. Right? Does that make sense? So you're going to have, from moment to moment, everything. Then you're going to have change of the body. Then you're going to have the end of Brahma's lifetime. And then you're going to have the Jiva giving up his illusion of material existence. He gives up the idea, I'm the controller and enjoyer. Yeah. Yes.
It seemed that this discussion will never actually come to an end between Maya bodies and Vaishnavas.
Oh, ours will. It's got another. I say, what is it? 20? No, 18 pages.
Because they discuss whether the object exists or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we discuss the perception of the object. It's mm-hmm. it's a completely different discussion. But and the object, obviously, as it is explained here, it appears in the gross form, but it always exists in the subtle form, in the universal form.
Yes.
So whether it exists or not, it's not a question. It is exists.
Mm-hmm.
But our perception of the object, that's the illusion.
Yes.
But they say it doesn't exist.
At all, yes. But then if that's there, they don't exist, so then why even bother talking? You know? You don't exist, so then, you know, why should I talk with you? And if they say the one Jiva Vad says, yeah, that's why I'm not talking to you. That could really spin their head, you know. You're the Jiva, not them. You're not. Yeah, that's the thing, is that they're not understanding. They're looking at the existence of it. Our point is the existence, it's there, but the point is also the principle of existence is your perception. Like the Jiva is conscious. So what he's conscious of. So that they're just saying it's all illusion, therefore in the consciousness you're just perceiving illusion. But we're saying no, you're seeing something that's real in an illusory perspective. Yeah, like that. But it's just a matter of those who are actually looking for the absolute truth by hearing these things, then they become purified, and so then they can get the benefit. You know, like we see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati. They're looking for the absolute. So as of that time, they've only come up to the point of understanding impersonal. But coming in contact with Lord Chaitanya and hearing, so then coming in contact with the chit potency, then they take it up. But others who don't, then you do. You see, as if it's progressing a little bit, then you know you take it that much. But if it's not progressing, why bother? Because then they're not going to get the yajnata. They've heard, but then now if you speak more, they just become inimical. So they might ruin that yajnata sukriti. You know. So it's just you're just trying to expose people to Krishna consciousness, and then those who are able to take advantage of it, then that's great.
Yes.
And those who don't, then it's added something to their life. You know, like you mentioned that Harinam in New York with, this would have been back in, 1980. So Lokanath Maharaj, he was doing Padayatra. In Padayatra, you go out to the villages. And in the villages, you know, I mean, well, you go out to them, you're only going through villages, right? And, you know, because you're going there and something's happening, then all the people come out like that and they're all standing around. So then, naturally, then, you know, he would then go out to the people and, you know, get them to raise their hands and chant and dance and stuff like that. That would be their standard, you know, way they deal. So here we are on Broadway, you know, at some point doing some Harinam, where they would go down and then they would stop and just do, because so many people walk by, because it's everyone's going to work or like this. And so then two suits stop there, you know, and they're looking, you know, because they're heading downtown. They're, you know, going down to Wall Street, that side, you know, some place in the financial district. They're walking there, and it's wide sidewalk, and so then they somehow or another are intrigued, so they just stop for a moment. And they're standing there with their briefcases and watching. And so then Lokanath Maharaj sees them standing there paying attention. He immediately steps out and puts his hands up. One of the devotees that's there, then, you know, that's leading the thing, he immediately tries to, oh no, you can't do that. You know, we're in New York, we're not in India. But he goes out and tells them, you know, raise your hand, dance, you know, chant. The guys put down their briefcases, put their hands up in the air, and jump up and down for, you know, some short time. Mm-hmm. And then he's dancing with them. And then, you know, they stop, they both laugh, pick up their briefcases, and walk off. And then the devotee who was, you know, leading the Harinam, has been going out for years, and, you know, the tough, you know, experienced, hardened Harinam leader, then he's just sitting there shocked. How did he do that? We've never been able to do that, you know? And this was his first day on Harinam. You know, so they were like, okay, you know, there's some, maybe we should visit Padayatra. You know, so who knows if they ever, you know, after that, they walk by the devotees or this or that, but, you know, who knows if they ever did anything more. But that Agyata Sukriti is there. Right? So that's the whole point, is we're trying to expose people to make their life fortunate. And then by that, then they can eventually gain the faith, because when the Agyata Sukriti matures to a certain volume, then that's when one develops faith. So that's why you see one person, you say something, and they immediately take interest. Another person, then it's nice, but they never get it taken seriously. And another person is not interested at all. It's just the volume of Agyata Sukriti. Because that's all that Krishna created the universe, his desire, create the universe for the devotees to be exposed to bhakti. So that's what it's for. So that means all living entities are having some exposure to some degree. It's just a matter of time before they come to the point of taking up devotional service. Otherwise, where's the statement that all the living entities in the universe will all go back to Godhead at some point? Unless there's the development of the Agyata Sukriti. So that's the whole point. The whole Sampakatan mission, or the whole, you see, the mission of the Acharyas is somehow or another expose people to the chanting of the holy name, taking prasad, something. You know, like Prabhupada's in the park, Regent Park, they're feeding the ducks. Right? It's not about feeding ducks for fun. It's not, you're distributing prasad. And watching ducks take prasad, that's always fun. You know, because they're so enthusiastic. Ducks are always, like, so enthusiastic. So that kind of, that's what's there. And so it's fun. It's joyfully performed. But that's what's going on. So it's not something else. It's not that the organization has something, another purpose. No, it's that. Just like the universe doesn't have another purpose. What's that? Yeah, yes.
also there's an example given, if we're in the darkness, we don't perceive any objects surrounding us. But then when we switch on the light, we see so many objects are there, but we were unable to perceive them before when we're in the darkness. But then we switch off the light again, and we don't perceive any objects. So this is the example that it is there, but we can't perceive it. But we can't claim it isn't there just because we can't perceive it. Or our perception of the objects, you know, differ, you know, one person from the other. So objects are objects, but it's not. It's a matter of perception, after all.
Yes, you have the absolute aspect, the absolute perspective, and then you have the individual perspective. You know, it's just like what do you call it? Quantum physics, and they always talk about, you know, you're talking about you have an object, like we have this book here. How many books are here? You know, people say one. No, there's unlimited, because every person will see it in a different way, from a different angle, from a different thing. So it's unlimited. Yes, from that side, that's perception, like you say, that is. But at the same time, there's the absolute aspect that it does exist as a one object here. Like that. But it's non-different from the Lord. So that's the weakness, is that they are seeing one or the other, but you have to be able to appreciate both. You know, that people are going to see individually, but it has to be in the context of the one absolute. So?
Yeah. Well, the Mayavadis, they're very clever thinking about this. You know, for like thousands of years.
They have nothing else to do.
Millions of years. So they say there's an absolute reality, which is Brahman, and there's illusion, which is whatever is there. But they, in order to answer the Mimamsakas, they need a midterm. They say there's an empirical perception. Means we perceive something, but actually they shift it into illusion. They say it doesn't exist, it isn't there. So this is how that the Prabhu was mentioned in Paramartika, Vyavaharika, and Pratibhashika. So Pratibhashika is an illusion. Paramartika is the absolute reality.
Okay.
But Vyavaharika is an empirical perception.
The senses.
Yeah, with the senses. Okay. Because we can't deny we live a life. I mean,
right.
It is there.
Yeah.
But that, they say, it's also in the category of illusion.
Yeah. But we're saying that you shift it that way.
Yes.
It's that you see the mechanics of senses, but you see it in context of the absolute. And they see what the senses see in the context of illusion.
Yeah.
But that's then their Mayavadis. Their absorption is in Maya, not in the absolute. They talk about the absolute, but otherwise, why aren't they Brahmavadis? Interesting, yeah. Because that also is the difficulty. The aparavidya means it's the mechanics of how perception and dealings work. Now you see that in context of the Lord. Now it takes on the nature of being supported. Paravidya gives you spiritual benefit. You don't see it in connection with paravidya, then it'll be avidya. It will give you a negative. So that sometimes is misunderstood, as the mechanics are just the common point, because we'll say, oh, we're doing this, they're doing this, so then they must be like us. You know, let's say some pious Hindus will say they're like us. You know? And so then we'll ask them questions about philosophy that we shouldn't be. So one always has to be very, very careful there. Is to understand it's not the external form that's the main point. It's the attitudes. It's how you're actually interpreting it. Right? That's the hermeneutics. How you're interpreting. How you're bringing it to the absolute or away from. But the mechanics stay the same. That's why in Vedic culture, you have one's culture that everybody can live within. So everybody can function within the Varnashram system. And so then being within that, then everybody has their place, and whatever is their particular emphasis, whatever their particular duties, it can all fit within this system. It's such a sophisticated system. But you either use that in connection with the Lord, or you'd use it not in connection with the Lord, and it's illusion. You know? And that's on the human platform. And you can function outside the human platform, so you can ignore the Varnashram, saying it doesn't work because you don't understand it. And so therefore, then it becomes even more of a difficult position, because if you're working on an illusory platform, a non-scientific platform, then the applying the science of Krishna consciousness into your life becomes difficult. And due to illusion, they'll take it, oh, we're living the scientific life, not the sentimental life of the devotees. But the devotees are living the scientific life. They're sentimental. Right? Because their sentiment is to enjoy. They may be using the so-called power of observation to increase their sense gratification. It means what the scientists come up with, and then that is then somehow or another made practical, either by the, you know, by the, how you say, the government or by the corporate world, then the point is what's the ultimate point of it? Sense gratification. It's not self-realization. Is there something that the scientists have come up with that has helped in self-realization? No. You may, by having the proper perspective, see and use it that way, but one has to understand is that this we call it the middle ground, you called it that.
Vyavaharika.
Yeah, the Vyavaharika. That's not the discussion. It's how you're interpreting it and whether you're approaching Vyavaharika from an actual scientific that deals with the absolute, or you're dealing with the scientific that deals with illusion. So that's the thing, is you have these overlaps that, depending on how you're looking at it, you can see it properly or not, you know, from vidya or avidya. And whichever it is within them, then you'll see that there's going to be a difference. In the one, the knowledge is the lower level, and then that inspiration to serve the Lord is the higher. On the material, then the scientific will be the higher, the intellectual, and the emotional will be the lower. You know, so as far as status goes and all that. So then that's the difficulty. It's a reflection. So then it can't be understood. So that's why you see sometimes we're talking about it being useful in the beginning of devotional service, but not at the end. Yes. On the material platform, the scientific or the intellectual is considered the end, not the beginning. Mm-hmm. Right? Or you may even see is that we'll start off the karma because we're used to that, develop that intellectual, and then go beyond that into the devotional. Like that. So you get all these variety of things, but you have to know what you're working with. What's the original point?
So. It's interesting that the modern science is based mainly on Vaisheshika, undeveloped, mm-hmm. because atom they didn't reach, mm-hmm. undeveloped and very little bit of Shankya. Mm-hmm. But the yoga speaks about the mind, which is higher, mm-hmm. but they say, no, this is like nothing.
Yeah.
They don't accept hard science. They don't accept, you know, mind or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, let's say you have an apple. And there's a dog. And you take the apple and hold it out. Right? So now, what will the dog do? It'll sniff it.
Yeah.
It'll come up and sniff it, and then turn away. So basically, that is their science. And so then that's all they do. They use the senses, they perceive things, but also, like the animal, they interpret it according to what's good for them or not. They don't know what's beyond. They don't know the purpose and all these different things. So that becomes the difficulty, is that if they can't see it with their senses, if they can't document it by mathematics, then it's not theirs. Now, if you can take the yoga and then show and, you know, put things and this and that and how the mind is like this, and then the mind becomes more peaceful and the heart rate and all this and all these different things and the stress, and you can document it by numbers, then they'll consider, okay, that's something, but, you know. But they'll still say, well, what does that got to do with finding out, you know, the how you say, the universal theory, you know? So, that's the... Because of attachment, then they can't. So they're attached to their senses. Others are attached to the social position. Others are attached to the concept of God in how much it can make your material life better. And then some are attached to knowledge and to for liberation. And so all of them are going to, because of that attachment, they can't go beyond. But the Vaishnavism deals with all those levels. But in the proper understanding of how those all connect to, you know, are coming from and connect to the Lord, and how they can be engaged. So how the senses are engaged, how the social interactions, how the laws of the Lord engage, how becoming free from material entanglement. But all that only has value if it's connected to devotional service. If it's not connected to devotional service, it doesn't have any value. So that's the whole point, is that all of them are there, because that perspective, if you're dealing with a reflection, that means all those dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are all reflections of what's going on in the spiritual world in bhakti. It's just that they means if you're following the Vedas, it will in external form look closer. The mechanics will be similar. You'll be using the pious mechanics. And if it's not, you'll be using the impious. Right? But at the same time, as ultimately how mechanics work, are they just have one method. You know, it's, you know, you're saying, I pick up something to go buy it, I pick up something to steal it. The picking it up is the same function. You know, carrying it's the same function. So that's the point, is that how do you use the system? Do you use it for Krishna, or do you use it for Maya? So the mechanics don't change. So it's just, do you want to work in line with the Lord and serve the Lord, or you want to work in line with the Lord, serve yourself, or you want to work not in line with the Lord to serve yourself? Of course, they'll say, what about not working in line with the Lord but to serve Krishna? A little harder. You know, in the beginning, yes, but one has to give that up. So, yeah. Yes.
Nothing exists without Brahman, everything is Brahman, nothing is different from Brahman. I just wanted to have more clarification of our energy is within Brahman, it's not different from Brahman, and then Brahman doesn't transform, but we say energy is transformed. Yes, still within Brahman and it's not outside Brahman, different from Brahman. So how do we understand that if it transforms but Brahman doesn't transform?
Because the energy is there, right? Let's say like electricity. And electricity is running a stove, a heater, and it's also running a you know, refrigerator or an AC unit, right? Does depending on what it is, does the generator change? No. So then you have to understand what is Shakti. Because they're just saying Shakti doesn't exist, there's only Brahman. That's why they can't understand this. Right? And as we said before, earlier in the class, then what's the point of this? What's their purpose? Is that all this is for me to enjoy, I'm not enjoying it, so then there should be nothing. And so therefore, I want to come to the platform of the supreme nothing. And that supreme nothing should make me happy. Right, because it's always they're always seeing it in context of themselves. But the point is no, all the variety, everything here is to please the Lord, not us. You know, and being part and parcel of the Lord, if we use everything in context of the Lord, then we'll be pleased. Like Prabhupada gives the example, the hand. It feeds the mouth, it will be taken care of. But if it individually wants to sit there and take and smoosh up the food, then it's not going to get much. You know what I'm saying? You know, you might get a little bit of moisturization or something, but... Absolute destruction on Yantikalaya simply means that a jiva gives up his adhyasa or covering. Thus, the material creation is a natural shakti of the Lord or his amsa and is never independent of him. That is summarized in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam as follows. This universe and even a single atom within it have no definition without reference to the Supreme Soul. If that were so, then these objects would... If that were so, then these objects would of similar quality to the Lord. 12:4-29. Just as gold is perceived in different forms by various types of manufacturing in the ordinary world, the Supreme Lord, inaccessible to material senses, is described in various words, both ordinary and Vedic, by different types of men. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:4-43. Hence one can conclude that the universe has a real existence. And is a natural shakti of the Lord, though it has temporary manifestation. Right? So the universe and even a single atom have no definition without reference to the Lord. It means everything is seen, how you define things is that they're how they connect to the Lord. We leave the Lord out, then we try to define them in connection with ourselves. Right? We ourselves value it. You know, it means, okay, if it's, you know, the Shastras say, like the Mimamsakas, then we're willing to define it in that way. So then you'll get kind of more of a similar definition. So at least socially people can get along. Or you don't identify it according to that. Then the difficulty comes up is that in a particular society, there's certain knowledge is there. They don't value it. They don't use it. You know, there's been so many things. It's like you see is, you know, there's that aspect of where you had the you know, the Greek and Roman culture and that, you know, going down, you know, you had Alexandria. So it was a big seat of learning. You know, it was the one of the seven wonders was the library there. That means it had to be a really big library. Or that means maybe it wasn't so big, but nobody else had a library. And so therefore it was one of the seven wonders because they had, you know, a few hundred, you know, books and nobody else had more than one or two if you were really, really, you know, special. But whatever the case, it was considered, you know, one of the major seats of learning. And so all that knowledge that they were working on, like how the universe is working and how the planets move and all these kind of things, then we see as those early Christians, they didn't care. So they came and destroyed the library because said, well, you know, who cares for this? You know? So you see, the Christians destroyed the library. I think the Muslims who did the same thing, they come and destroy the libraries. You know? So then the point comes down is then later on, you know, another 1,000 years later or more, 1,500 years later, then, you know, then science comes up with the same understanding that they were doing there just by using their intelligence and seeing the patterns. Without all this modern, you know, stuff, they could do that by their intellect. The same formula. You know, it's just like you have somebody, the math formula, like a Pythagoras, that does go back to the Greeks. It's not a, you know, something new. Right? So, somebody values it, they use it. Somebody doesn't, they don't. You know, so it's like before, music and all these fine things were valued. And then you have in the Dark Ages in Europe, then they don't value them, they don't use them. Then Renaissance, then they start using again. Right? Then when you have the, what do you call it? the Protestant, Protestant movement come up, then they get rid of them again. You know, so it just keeps going back and forth. So there's no standard. So the whole point is when you define everything in context of the Lord, then it has a meaning. It has a value. Otherwise, there's no value. It will be, each one will see it in their own different way, right? Both ordinary and vain by different types of men, right? They're inaccessible. So everybody will define in a different way. But if you see it in the proper, then everything is defined in reference to the Supreme Soul. I'm not sure if that were so. It seems to be more appropriate would be that being so. You know? Is everything seen in reference to the Lord? But you have to be careful. In reference to the Lord as a person, or in reference to the Lord through a Shakti. So if you say it's the Lord, no, then it's a problem. Just like Shakti Parinambhava, as soon as you say Brahma Parinambhava, no, that's a problem. So you have to see is which one's coming up. Anucheta 70. Paramatma has been proven and Vivarta has been refuted. The world is not false like the rope mistaken for a snake, but is temporary like a pot. But even though it is not false, the universe in itself cannot be called sat in the true sense because it does not continue over all three aspects of time. Right? The Lord is because past, present, future, he exists, therefore he's sat. While on the material platform, it doesn't exist over all three points of time. It didn't exist before it came into existence. At one point, it will be destroyed. Without necessity of illusion or changing operation, an object can still exist as sat. Without producing the faults of illusion of Brahman and change in Brahman, by explaining that the world exists within Paramatma or his Shakti. Sat eva saum yedam agra asi. This world, idam, existed as sat before the creation. O gentle one, Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. The word sat indicates that Brahman and his Shakti, in subtle state, had attained oneness. The sat karya vad operates by taking support of this subtle state. Right. So the subtle aspect, that's where you're saying the sat karya vad. Right, so that subtle state of the Shakti and the Brahman, there's the oneness, but there's the same time difference. Mm-hmm. Right, that's where you're going to have the Satkaryabhava. So,
Let me say in that regard that because in the subtle way, the Shaktis belong to Brahman and exist in him, but when the manifestation is gross, then they suffer. Also.
Yes, but at the same time as the Shakti being non-different means that they're non-different from him, but they're different. You're going to have that aspect. So on the Brahman and Paramatma platform, you'll see that there'll be that similarity, but at the same time as there's going to be the difference from Bhagavan. So that's where it has its most easiest application, is then when you're dealing with the aspect of Bhagavan. Right?
Because if they say about Satkaya Vat, it means that it's not obvious.
No, it's not obvious. That's the point. Like it says, it's subtle, in a subtle state. So that's why then hearing in the Parampara can be appreciated. Because otherwise, also in that gross state, then I think only Shankya accepts a Satkaya Vat, other than Vaishnav Vedanta. All the other schools don't deal with it. It's too subtle for them. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because they're dealing with the metaphysical, so then you're going to have the metaphysical, and from the metaphysical you're going to get the physical. They're not necessarily taking it back to the absolute. Because this is Pradhan, so Pradhan has these, and therefore then that being transformed. So you have earth, then you get a pot. So they'll have that understanding. But they don't take it all the way back to the absolute, and then therefore it's energies, and then you get the pot. So from the Lord, you get the energy has the earth, and that has the quality that you can make a pot. so they're not seeing all the way there. Because in the material platform, they only deal with two levels, what you see and what you, you know, how you say, think you see, you know. They're not actually dealing with the absolute. There's a concept that's there because the jiva, by nature, he's going to be conscious and conscious of knowledge of Brahman, right? And the taste from that. But when as that becomes covered, then it becomes, the perception becomes perception of the material, what you can perceive with the senses. And then the happiness, and then the endeavor that you can make and get the happiness from that. And so it's still based on the principle of they as the soul, as part and parcel of the Lord, but they don't actually know what they're dealing with. So, yeah, so it's a difficulty. Is that you have these three aspects. And so the middle aspect is it has its... It's based by desire on fulfilling the purpose, but it works by the mechanical, right? The mechanical is applied in the middle state, and that gives the results that are there for the purpose. Right? So then that middle state becomes the hard one to explain. That's why generally seeing that everybody always takes two, the duality, that's more easy. You know, you're for us or against us. Right? You know, you're either with us or not.
Yes.
But yeah, where you're right, we're with you, and where you're wrong, we're not. Then nobody likes you.
Yes.
Right? Like that. So one has to be appreciate that middle point. That's what's going to be the hard one. You know, to appreciate. Because generally the two ends are more easily clear because we can see how different they are. But the one in the middle that connects the two, that has to have qualities of both. Otherwise, how does it bring the one to the other? And it also then from that, then it has to be is, well, what's the purpose? You know, in the prayojana, what's the purpose? That then gives the purpose to the sambandha. Right? And so the prayojana has to be using the sambandha so it attains the purpose of prayojana. So, but if we just think, no, it's about you're dealing with the sambandha so that the mechanics work out very nicely and you get the results. But the point if the results don't please Krishna or generate, you know, that satisfaction or that self, then what's the point? So, you know, then it's a misunderstanding. So people can just see that mechanistic aspect and think that's the real thing. So you have to see as you have the mechanistic form, but you also have the actual, what its original form is. Why there's variety, why there's action in that, because it's the Lord's desire. So when you can see both of these lines and also in connection with each other, then you can actually use it. Otherwise, then one misses the point. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.